As Brother Bill read for us, God calls us to go to the ancient paths, to look for those places that have been there, that have been walked diligently, that have been eased for us. And yes, I realize a little bit of irony in the fact that last week we had a lesson that said, don't look back. And this week, our lesson is calling for us to look back, but two different situations. We want to consider this morning the fact that we need to recognize and hold on to the original patterns as delivered by God. The world has adjusted and changed. Men have added and tried to repair patterns and forms that have been broken, and in doing so have lost the shape. I have read that when they want bankers to understand how to recognize counterfeit cash, they give them a real bill and have them study it so they know all the details of it and what it looks like and how it feels and all of those things. So when something comes across their desk or their teller that is different, they can recognize it. An example that fits a little better with my understanding is one that I actually was refreshed just a couple of weeks ago in watching an episode of a house repair show, actually this old house. He had to build 8 sets of stairways in this house. They had 8 different levels. And he was talking about preparing to build those stairways. And he said there could not be a variance more than, and it was less than an inch, between the height of the steps in those stairways. And so he had to make sure that those steps matched in each individual stairway. Not that all stairways had to be identical. They changed a little bit based on their distance. But each stairway itself, the steps had to be the same. And so when he started to lay out, he laid out his board there and he got out his fancy square that I've been shown how to use and I still can't use very well. And he marked out where each one of those treads was going to be. And he cut that one out. And he was instructing an apprentice and he said, okay, now we can take this and we can mark all the rest of them. We want to make sure that we mark the last one with the same one that we marked the first one. If we don't, they will be different. What he was saying is, when you're making treads for your staircase, not the treads, the runners, I think, maybe there's another term for it, but you make sure they all match by using the original pattern for each one. Why? Because, as my dad told me, if you cut the next board by measuring it against the last board you cut, you don't have to get very many boards down the line until your board is longer than the first one. We need to recognize and know to go back to the original patterns, because apostasy has been a problem from the very beginning of time. That was the problem in the garden. They turned away from the original pattern God had given. That's what Jeremiah is talking about here in regards to the Israelites. In particular, in verse 16, he says, stand by the ways and see and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. Later in chapter 18 of the book of Jeremiah, in verse 15, my people have forgotten me. They burn incense to worthless gods, and they have stumbled from their ways, from the ancient paths, to walk in bypaths, not on a highway. In other words, they had turned away from the original, and therefore they had adulterated their service, and it was no longer acceptable to God. As Brother Bill read for us in those latter verses of the reading this morning, it doesn't matter where your incense comes from. You're not offering in accordance with my pattern, and so it is of no use to me. The New Testament also warns us of such apostasies in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Paul says, "Now we request you, brethren, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to Him, that you not be quickly shaken from your composure or be disturbed, either by a spirit or a message or a letter, as if from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come." In other words, brethren, we've told you about these things. Don't get disturbed by new revelations. Go back to what you've been told. Reach back to what you've already heard. One of the letters written to one of the churches in the book of Revelation said, remember the first words. The instruction that Paul gave to the elders of the church in Ephesus in Acts chapter 20 on the island Miletus is be on guard. Because after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves men will arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after them. The New Testament gives us warning after warning, and the appeal of the New Testament is to go back to the original pattern. Not some pattern that's been broken up and then put back together with a few ideas here and there to make it fit, but the original pattern. Sometimes here, and somebody talking about a particular individual or something, talking about how they look up to them, and sometimes we'll hear the phrase, they broke the mold. Well, let me tell you something. God's molds have never been broken. And if we will go back to His mold in all things, life is going to be better for us in the long run. And certainly, it's going to be that which is pleasing unto God. We want to look at some patterns that we need to go back to, some original models. And probably this is the beginning of a series of lessons along this idea. We will look in more detail at some particular patterns, much like we've been doing in regards to the pattern of the church in our Bible class on Sunday morning. The first thing we want to consider is we need to go back to the original marriage pattern of God. The marriage pattern of God has been altered, changed, almost destroyed by the people of the world, because they have added this and they have taken away that and they have changed this and adjusted here and adjusted that in order to fit their ideas and their thoughts. And if we want marriage to work like God designed for it to work, we better go back to the original pattern that God has given to. That's exactly what Jesus did. When the Jews came to Him in Matthew chapter 19, and they said, "Can a man divorce his wife for any cause?" Jesus' response was, "Have you not read that He who created them from the beginning made them male and female, and said, 'For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh.' So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What, therefore, God has joined together, let no man separate." Can a man divorce his wife for any cause? Jesus said, God said no. Because God said, one man, one woman, joined together for life and become one. Now, when we look out at our world today, there's all kinds of adjustments been made to that pattern. Some of them have broken it open and spread it out so that anybody can get married. Men can marry men. Women can marry women. Men can marry cartoon characters. Can marry their pet. God's pattern said, male and female joined together in one flesh. But it's not those extremes so much that has destroyed the pattern of marriage in our society today. It's the changes that man has made himself in regards to that relationship between one man and one woman. Man has said, well, that's hard to do. I just don't know if I can live with this one woman all of my life. In fact, after a while, I start getting on her nerves and she starts getting on my nerves. I know we loved each other at one time, but we've grown out of love. And so we're going to separate. We're not going to be together anymore. That's not according to God's original plan. What God has joined together, let no man separate. And just like today, those Jesus was talking to there in Matthew chapter 19 responded, well, why then did Moses command to give her a certificate of divorce and send her away? And know how they worded that. Moses commanded us to give her a certificate of divorce and put her away. Well, that's an interesting twist on what Moses actually did. But notice Jesus' response. Because of your hardness of heart, Moses permitted you to divorce your wives. But from the beginning, it has not been this way. I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for immorality and marries another woman commits adultery. Jesus went right back and said, here's the original pattern. Follow it. Now, what they had adjusted, they'd even tweaked what Moses said. What Moses did is said, if you put your wife away, you make sure you give her a certificate of divorce. And then you can't marry her again. There's some other subtleties maybe in all that language, but the point was, when you do this, make sure it's official. Don't just cast her out of the house and then she doesn't know whether she's married to you or not. But Jesus said, that's not the way God designed it. Even though Moses allowed it because of your wickedness, God didn't make it that way. Here's God's pattern. Jesus called for them to return to the original. Paul did the same thing in his teaching. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, beginning in verse 2, but because of immoralities, each man is to have his own wife, and each woman is to have her own husband. The husband must fulfill his duty to his wife, and likewise also the wife to her husband. In verse 10 and 11, but to the married I give instruction, not I, but the Lord, that the wife should not leave her husband. But if she does leave, she must remain unmarried or else be reconciled to her husband, and that the husband should not divorce his wife. That's plain and simple language based on the original pattern from God. And if we follow it, we're going to be better off. That puts some responsibility on the ones that are entering into marriage. It puts some responsibility on those of us who are in marriage, or that it ought to continue. There ought not be a reason for a man and a woman to separate if they have been joined together as husband and wife. Any separation is going to violate the pattern that God laid out to begin with. Yes, I said any separation. Is going to violate the original pattern from God. One man, one woman, joined for life, is the pattern of God from the beginning for marriage. And because we have strayed from that pattern, as a society, we suffer problems in the home. We suffer problems in society, in government, in our churches, in our schools, because we left God's pattern. We need to go back to the original pattern, the one that God laid out to start with, and pattern our marriages after that. And we need to make sure we continue in that. By the way, this is probably one of those patterns we're going to go back and look at in more detail in another lesson later on in the year. Because it's an important pattern for us to understand. Another pattern that we need to make sure that we are following exactly, that we need to be matching ourselves up to, is the original gospel pattern. Now, wait a minute. The gospel is simply the story of Jesus and how he died on the cross to save us from our sins. He paid the price for our sins in his sacrifice. That's right. But that simple pattern has been adulterated time and time and time again. You don't have to watch many TV shows that talk about some of the denominations in the world to learn that mankind's come up with all kinds of ideas on how to get rid of sins that have very little to do with the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. Pray to some saint while you say some phrases. Work some beads through your fingers. Pay a little of this and take care of them. Somebody died that had sins you want to take care of? You can do things to take care of that according to the ideas of man. Or even an adjustment to the basic story of salvation, the fact that Jesus didn't really rise from the dead. There's those that go out and want us to believe that. Jesus was just a man. Or he was just another prophet of God. He wasn't anybody special. But God calls for us to go back to the original pattern. This is part of what the Apostle Paul was dealing with the brethren in Corinth. You remember when he started the first letter to Corinth? He said, I hear there's division among you. Some of you are following Paul, some are following Peter, some are following Apollos, some are following Christ. Part of the reason for that is there were those going about teaching that there was no resurrection. There were those going about teaching that Jesus didn't rise from the dead, even that early in the church. But look what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Brethren, now I make known to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which also you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. In other words, Paul said, let me remind you of what you believed in the beginning. And you remember what he does in the continuing verses. Jesus was born according to the Scriptures. He died according to the Scriptures. He was buried according to the Scriptures. He was raised according to the Scriptures. And he was seen by multiple different ones. And he reminds them later on in that chapter in verse 13 and 14, if there is no resurrection of the dead, even Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is vain. Your faith is always also vain. If you're not going to go back to the original pattern of the gospel story of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, and base your life, your faith, your standards, everything about yourself upon those things, what you're doing is vain. It's the equivalent of what Jesus said, following after the doctrines of men. Paul said, come back to the original message without any of the additions that man has given. That's the warning he gave to the Galatian brethren. Follow with me, beginning in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6. I'm amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is not really another, only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. As we have said before, so I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you receive, he is to be accursed. For am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were still striving to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. For I would have you know, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me was not according to man, for I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. Go back a few phrases there where Paul says, if I were still trying to please men, saw that verse in light of what we've been studying in our Bible class on Wednesday night. And Paul telling his story to Apollos, having told it to Felix, the things we've studied about Christ. Paul recognized here that what he was doing before he obeyed the gospel was pleasing men. No matter how devoted he was, no matter how clear his conscience was in what he was doing, he recognized he was pleasing men, not God. But he changed because of the revelation of Christ. And that meant that everything about Paul and his life went back to that original model of the gospel. That Jesus died for my sins. And he was raised from the grave on the third day, just like it was promised. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified? Go back to what you were taught. Go back to the original model. The gospel has been adulterated by our society and religious organizations today. The gospel message to much of the religious world is simply a do good to others. Be kind to your fellow man. Love them no matter what they do. That's the message of the gospel for them. But that's not the message of the gospel we find in the pages of Scripture. The gospel message is Christ died for your sins and was raised to sit up on high at the right hand of God to rule over all mankind for all time. We need to submit ourselves to it. Yes, Jesus loves. God is love. He loved us enough that He provided us a way to get rid of our sins. And we can't take the getting rid of our sins out of the gospel without ignoring the sacrifice and resurrection of Christ. If Christ has not been raised, our faith is in vain. We need to recognize the gospel is focused on the promise given us in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's not about making people happy. It's about turning them to the Lord and attuning ourselves to continue a focus on the Lord. Another pattern that we need to be careful that we are following is the pattern of the church. The original pattern. In Acts chapter 11, we have a record of, well, it's hard to say the second church. I don't know how many other small congregations there may have been, but up until this point, mainly the congregations were in Jerusalem and Judea. But in Acts chapter 11, we have a record of a church being started in the city of Antioch. And we read, beginning in verse 22, the news about that congregation reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas off to Antioch. Then when he arrived and witnessed the grace of God, he rejoiced and began encouraging them all with resolute heart to remain true to the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and considerable numbers were brought to the Lord. And he left for Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch, and for an entire year, they met with the church and taught considerable numbers, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. What we have here is a group of Gentiles, for the most part, that were obedient to the gospel. And they became a local congregation of the Lord's people. And the folks in Jerusalem heard about this. And because they knew the importance of remaining faithful to the original pattern, their first thought was, are these brethren following the original pattern? The text doesn't necessarily say that, but that seems to be the indication there. So they sent Barnabas up to see about this. And what Barnabas found is that these brethren were true to the Lord. What does it mean? They were following the original pattern. They were a localized entity devoted to serving one another as they served God, supporting the truth. They designed themselves following the exact same pattern the church in Jerusalem and the churches in Judea had. we read later in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 from the Apostle Paul, it was for this he called you through our gospel, that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brethren, stand firm and hold to the traditions which you were taught, whether by word of mouth or by letter from us. What do you mean, Paul? Keep following the pattern you were given to begin with. Stay with it. Don't adjust it. Don't try to patch it up to make it fit better. You mold yourself to it. They were following the same pattern that the churches in Judea had followed, that the church in Antioch had followed. They were willing to suffer for Christ. In fact, that's quite evident when we read about Paul's trials and the early brethren's trials there in the city of Thessalonica. They were organized and doing the work, identical to the pattern that God had laid out that was followed by the brethren in Judea. They weren't focused on recreation. They weren't gathered together for entertainment or social interaction. Their grouping together as a body was not for some sort of political reform or change in their society. It was to worship God according to His plan. That was their focus. It was all about following the original pattern, preaching the message of the cross, proclaiming salvation through the resurrection of Jesus, proclaiming salvation not just to Jews, but to Jew and Gentile. If you recall our studies there when Paul was in Thessalonica, that was one of the big problems. They were telling the Gentiles that they could be formed by God's pattern. Paul says, hold to those things. Whether we spoke them to you or we received them in letters. Like all of the bodies of the Lord's saints in the various different cities that they were patterned after the very beginning of the church that we read about in Acts chapter 2. Encouraging and worship and edifying, strengthening one another. Beginning in verse 42, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all, as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. We talked in Bible class this morning about how Luke gives us the build-up to the church and then the beginning of the church in the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts. What we have here is the original pattern. The first century church, as they were inspired by God and led by the very apostles Jesus appointed. And the things that they were doing in these first few chapters of the book of Acts, as an assembly and as individuals, are important for us to recognize and match ourselves to. And there were two things that stood out about these brethren. First of all, they were focused on the teaching of Christ, both among themselves and those that were around them. And secondly, they took care of their own. They were strengthening and encouraging one another with the Word of God, and if there were those in need, they saw to it to help those needs to the best of their ability. They were focused on helping one another understand the Word of God and teaching it to others and helping their brethren in whatever way they could. That's the pattern of the Lord's church. Paul later told Timothy that the church was the pillar and ground of the truth. They were following the traditions of the apostles, as the apostle Paul encouraged the brethren in Thessalonica. Again, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, beginning in verse 6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from every brother who leads an unruly life and not according to the tradition which you receive from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example, because we did not act in an undisciplined manner among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with labor and hardship we kept working night and day, so that we would not be a burden to any of you. Not because we do not have the right to this, but in order to offer ourselves as a model for you, so that you would follow our example. There again, I want us to look at, Paul says, follow the traditions. But look what he says. And there's a little bit of contrast here. We look over there in Acts chapter 2, and they were supplying physical needs as were necessary. But Paul comes back and says, everybody needs to take care of themselves first. If a brother's not doing what he ought, we don't have a responsibility to care for him. We need to instruct him and change him. And so it's not just a matter of we always help those that have less. Sometimes the best way to help someone is to help them learn to help themselves. There again, Paul said, follow the original pattern you were given. Look at how we worked and took care of ourselves, and you do the same. They had a problem at Thessalonica, folks just sitting back waiting for the Lord to come and weren't doing anything, expecting others to support them. Paul said, that's not the pattern you were given. We need to remember, the church is for souls, not for bodies. Now, that says a lot in a couple of different areas. And once again, while we've looked at some of these in our classes, we're probably going to look in a little more detail at this pattern over the coming months. Another pattern that we need to keep in mind is the original supper model. And I make mention of this because it has been so adulterated by the religious world today. And we've talked about this in other lessons, and we'll spend a lot of time on this. But I want us to recognize that when some change was coming about in the remembrance of the Savior's death at the supper, what the Apostle Paul told those brethren in Corinth who were adulterating that, he said, you get back to what you were taught to begin with. I receive from the Lord what I deliver to you. The Lord Jesus, when he was betrayed, took the bread. And when he'd given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup also after the supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Paul said, this is not a time for having a feast. This is a time for remembering the death of Christ. And he told us what to do and how to do it. And I gave you instruction according to the original pattern. Go back to that pattern. Follow it. Go back to the original model. Certainly, there are other things about the supper that we've emphasized in other lessons, one being a regular observance of this supper. Because the Lord's Supper is to keep our focus on Christ, which is what we're all about. You know, that church, those brethren in the church in Antioch were called Christians for a reason. They were called Christians because their focus was on Christ. And the Memorial Supper is one of the things that helps us keep that focus. We need to follow the original pattern. And lastly, we need to follow the original zeal model. In fact, I almost changed that to evangelism. Because when we talk about the zealousness of the first century Christians, when we talk about the beginnings of the church and the patterns that were laid down for us by the apostles and the disciples of Jesus, we talk about their zeal. What we're talking about is their willingness to give up anything to spread the gospel, to tell people about Christ. Those who had been scattered because of the persecution that arose around Stephen went about preaching the word. Paul told the Thessalonian brethren, our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction, just as you know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake. you also become imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much tribulation with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. In other words, brethren, remember how you were? Keep that way. Just as you have been, be so even more and more, he tells them in a letter. Zealous for the word. We need to bring back into focus that which is of utmost importance to us as children of God. As those who have been saved. I know we've probably heard the illustration used in the past. We've got a cure greater than the cure of cancer. Why would we want to hold it in our own cabinets and hide it from other people? Well, if we're following the original pattern that we have for the children of God, we won't. We'll be zealous. We'll be diligent in proclaiming that word, in reaching out to those who need it, and in living it diligently in our life each and every day. In chapter 2 and verse 13 of 1 Thessalonians, Paul said, "For this reason we also constantly thank God, that when you received the word of God which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God which also performs its work in you who believe." Diligence and work are expected of the people of God. We need to look back to the original pattern. God has not left us without God. He didn't say, "Here's some material, here's some thread, make it into a dress." He said, "Here's the pattern. It'll tell you where every seam goes, how long everything's supposed to be, exactly where to fold it, how to lay the material before you cut it." Not that I've done a lot of sewing, but I've been around a few folks that have. Here's the pattern. Follow it. Just like he told Moses on Mount Sinai. "Let them construct the sanctuary for me," God told Moses in Exodus 25, "that I may dwell among them, according to all that I am going to show you. As the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furniture, just so you shall construct it." And then as Paul writes to the brethren in Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, he reminds us that we need to constantly test ourselves to see if we're in the faith. Examine yourselves so that we can recognize whether we are in Christ or have failed the test. God has given us patterns by which we ought to live, by which we ought to serve. And we need to follow those patterns as closely as we possibly can. And we need to follow His pattern. Not some patch job or adjustment that somebody else has made, but go back to the original pattern. Because it's the only one we know that will work. And it's the only one that will please Him. Find this morning there's some areas in your life where you've not been following the pattern as closely as you are, or where you failed the pattern completely. We encourage you to look diligently into your heart and find a way to recognize the need to change. And then pray to God and ask Him to forgive so that you can be free from that sin. And then turn yourself diligently to the pattern God has left for you. In whatever area, these are just a few of the patterns. I was thinking through this lesson last night. I could do a whole series of lessons on following the pattern or broken patterns, and I could have a lesson probably for just about every Sunday for the rest of the year. I'm not saying that's what I'm going to do. But just about everything that we have to be cautious of and careful of could be approached from the standpoint of fixing the broken pattern. Going back to God's pattern. So these aren't all. If you find you failed God's pattern somewhere, set it by. This pattern for that is to repent of your sins and ask Him to forgive. As children of God, we have Jesus, our advocate, who will go on our behalf. And if we will confess our sins,
God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from unrighteousness. If you find a developed pattern, we urge you to correct that this morning. If we can assist, opportunity is yours. Why not come? We stand and sing for you.